And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the entire Roman world should be taxed. This taxing was first made while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angel were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Are you ready for Christmas? Kids, you ready? Anybody? Did everybody have Christmas this morning already? Anybody? Open gifts? A few of you? Yeah, you couldn't wait, could you? No? And these are older kids I see here. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's great to see all of you out this morning. I've seen lots of preparation happening in anticipation of this day. I don't know if you've been out shopping this week. Are anybody last-minute shoppers? I don't see any hands. Oh, yeah, a few of you. You know what I mean. Lots of bustling about in the stores. So my question is, are you ready for Christmas? It's here. Are you ready? Yes? No? Maybe? It's here. What is it that you've been looking forward to for Christmas? Just curious to think about that. What have you been looking forward to? As a church, we've been observing Advent, which is a time of looking forward to this time, this day, anticipating this day. And now it's here. And so my question is, what is it time for? It's time for what? Time to open presents? Time to eat a lot of food? Maybe. Anybody have food that you've been getting ready, working hard in the kitchen? Time for family and friends to hang out. I don't know about you, but all of our kids, this is the day, the only day really that lined up that we could all get together and hang out together. So we're looking forward to that this afternoon. A time for bowl games. Anybody excited about some games coming up, football games? Nobody? No? A few? Okay. Maybe a time for parties. And maybe it's time for the pastor to wrap this up so we can get on with some of those things, huh? I know what you're thinking. It's time. I want to think of this thing of time. Time for what? My thoughts were drawn to this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman." I want you to think about that a moment. When the fullness of time had come. I love that phrase, when the fullness of time. What is the fullness of time? It's time for the sovereign God to carry out the next step in this meticulous plan that he's executing in his own perfect timing. Do you ever think about the perfect plan that God is executing? And so often we can't see much of it, can we? And we wonder, I wonder sometimes, what, God, what's going on? What, I don't know what you're doing. But it's a time for the sovereign God to carry out this next step in his meticulous plan. If you remember, Reuben introduced us a few weeks ago to the verse in Genesis chapter 3, all the way back in the beginning, where God is speaking to Adam and Eve and the serpent, and he's talking specifically here to the Satan and the serpent. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God has been executing his plan to perfection from the beginning of time. I don't know, I can't get my hands around the idea of that. All of the things that God has been putting into motion in order for this event to happen. And many of them we don't see, we don't know how they connect. They happened over thousands of years. And I don't know what your plans are like. Maybe you plan ahead. I happen to be more of a last minute person. I'm not much of a planner. Doris, she's the planner. So when we work together on something, on a project, it's really a problem because she's like, "We need to get on this." And I'm like, "It doesn't even happen for like 3 weeks." Like, so anyway, I'm not much of a planner. I do plan out a little bit, but I can't imagine planning for thousands of years for things to happen. But that's what God did. He planned, he put things in motion that would happen thousands of years in the future. And so we see this plan being executed. I was thinking of the genealogies that we see in Matthew and Luke, and often we don't really spend a lot of time in genealogies. We're like, all these names. But I was thinking about all these people who were part of this incredible plan over these many years that God used in order for the preparation for his son to come. It's a beautiful thing. We think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then there's people mentioned there like Perez. And you're like, who's this guy? He was the son of Judah and Judah's daughter-in-law. What a difficult thing that happened there. And people like Ruth the Moabite, who was not even a Jew, is in the lineage of Christ. And Boaz, if you know who Boaz was, he was the son of Rahab the prostitute. And then you have King David. Of course, we know King David, all the things that he did. But then Solomon is mentioned as the son of the woman that he stole from another man and actually murdered, had the man murdered. That doesn't sound like a perfect plan, does it? But you know, God uses imperfect people in his perfect plan. Isn't that amazing? I find that so amazing that even us here today, myself sitting here talking about this as an imperfect person who has all kinds of brokenness and mistakes and failures, and yet the amazing thing is that God uses even us, even people who are broken, made mistakes, God uses them. It's an incredible thing to me. God's plan stretches over the span of not just thousands of years, but over eternity. He uses everyone in his plan in some way, whether they're willing or unwilling, whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether they're strong or whether they're weak, whether they're righteous or even unrighteous. I think of the reading we had, and it mentions Caesar. And Caesar was used by God to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Is that not astounding to you? God uses people, even people who are, we would say, evil people in history. God uses them, whether they know it or not, in this amazing plan. We can choose to ignore it. We can choose to oppose it. Or maybe not believe it. Maybe you don't believe it. But this doesn't stop his plan from being completed in the fullness of time, just as he planned and decided. So what do you make of it? What do you think about it? We've been anticipating this day. What are you thinking? What's God speaking to you about? Peter reminds us that the prophets longed to see these things that they prophesied about that would come to pass. The Savior coming into the world. The prophets longed to see this day happen. And he reminds us, too, that even the angels long to look into these things, speaking of the good news of Jesus coming. I think of Simeon in the temple, who took Jesus in his arms as an 8-year-old baby. Simeon was waiting for God's salvation to come. Waited many years, his whole lifetime, he waited to see. I don't know how old he was, but he was an old man. And he took Jesus in his arms and he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And he blessed God. And Anna, who was also in the temple that day, praised God. And she told everyone that she ran into, she told them of this amazing story about the child who was born, who would be the Savior of the world. And so, what is our response? What is your response? We see the shepherds worshiping. We see the angels worshiping. And so I just want to invite us, as we wrap up our time together here, that we've anticipated this day, we've been thinking about it, we've been celebrating already in the days before this day. And so, let's worship him as we close our time together this morning. I'd invite you to set your worries aside. Maybe you don't really see how God's plan can be completed. Maybe you don't understand it. I don't know. If you're at a difficult place in your life right now and you're waiting for something to happen and you're wondering, God, where are you? When is this going to change? What's going to happen here? But I hope as you look at God's masterful plan being worked out in this event that we see taking place after many, many years, that you would know and understand that God is working out a perfect plan. And that plan won't be stopped. It will be completed. He has a plan for your life. And just like he used all of those people that we see throughout the Bible in his plan, he's using you and me in his plan today. We're just another chapter that's being written. And the amazing thing is that we get to be a part of it. In some way, we get to carry out a part of this beautiful plan. And so I invite us just to worship together, to worship the Lord, and to trust him that he's working out a plan for each of us. And each of us, no matter how broken, maybe you feel like a failure, maybe you're in a place in your life of a lot of pain, and maybe this time of the year brings pain to you, and you wonder, if you can make it through. I just want to encourage you that God is with you. He's been with you the whole time. He's working out a plan. You may not know what it looks like right now, but he's working it out for you and for me. So if we could worship together with Simeon and Anna, the shepherds, the angels, worship the Son of God, worship God himself who is executing this plan. If we could worship together, I just want to invite you, why don't you stand as we worship the Lord. And there's a song we're going to be singing here next. It talks about falling on your knees. And if you want to do that as a sign of your worship, I want you to have the freedom to do it. Nobody's looking at you. It's just between you and the Lord. Find a space where you can do that. You can even come up here. Let's worship the Lord together.